May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The ceremony of the foot washing is a reminder of our call to obedience to Christ, even when it requires us to do those things that make us uncomfortable, things that threaten our pride or our self-image, things that make us feel vulnerable and exposed. While some find this liturgy a beautiful demonstration of the love of Christ for us, others find it very uncomfortable, probably not those who are here tonight. There's something about burying our feet in church that is reminiscent of bearing our shame before others. Even though we have come with clean feet, ready to be seen and washed by one another, there's something about having someone wash our feet that can make us uncomfortable. Our feet in some way seem to represent those things we would rather keep hidden about ourselves. Like Peter, who recoiled at the mere idea of Jesus, his Lord and Master, washing his feet. We certainly wouldn't consider it after spending the day in sandals on dirty, dusty roads, covered with grime and smelling from sweat, and maybe even from whatever the animals have left behind on the road. We don't want someone else to perform such a menial task for us. The disciples had been given the task of preparing and serving this last meal for Jesus, this Last Supper. But none wanted to take on the task of washing everyone's feet. It was a dirty, demeaning job. Luke gives us a greater understanding of why they'd failed in this act of hospitality. They're arguing among themselves about who was the greatest, puffing themselves up and figuratively flexing their muscles with pride and self-promotion, perhaps jockeying for position. No one was even acknowledging the need for this necessary task, normally relegated to the least of the servants in the household, pretending they didn't notice the smell and the dirt on the feet beside them as they reclined at table. There were no servants there that evening, only disciples, and no one wanted to be the least. Then Jesus got up and gave them a lesson in what it is to be a disciple. He began to wash their feet. He who was without question far and above the greatest among them took on the task of the least out of his love for them. He who would humble himself even to death on the cross out of love for us did not consider this humble task beneath him. In Scripture, it seems whenever something really big is about to happen, something that stretches our faith far beyond normal human experience and understanding, the Lord gives us spiritual stepping stones to help us get there. Before Mary conceived Jesus by the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth, like Sarah long before her, became pregnant with John the Baptist when she was well beyond the age of childbearing. If Elizabeth could have a child in her old age, then it's just another step to believe that Mary could become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Before Jesus rose from the dead and was crucified, there were several examples of Jesus raising others from the dead. The widow's son, Jairus's daughter, and finally Lazarus, who had been dead and in the tomb for 4 days. His power over death had already been powerfully demonstrated while he was still alive. He who had restored others to life now gave life through his own death and resurrection to the world. Now in the foot washing, Jesus is preparing the disciples and us for the work of the cross. Jesus, who would take up the cross that their sins and our sins would be forgiven, washing their souls clean of sin with the sacrifice of his own blood, is taking up a towel to wash the dirt from life in the world off their feet. How much harder it is to have our sins exposed, laid bare for all to see, so that they might be washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, than it is to admit to dirty feet. How much harder to ask the Lord to pay for our failures, our shortcomings, our thoughtless, even evil deeds, with his very life, than it is to allow him to wash the dirt from our feet. After all, it's understandable that our feet would be dirty after a day of walking on dirty, dusty roads in a hot climate. But we have no excuse for our sin other than our human frailty. So much for the argument about who is the greatest. Receiving the forgiveness of sin that's available to us in Jesus Christ through the cross requires admitting that we have sinned, that we fall short, far short, of the perfection of a holy God, and that we have no power to break the hold of sin on us. It is admitting our need for salvation. The foot washing is a reminder of our need. It's also a reminder that we need help in being cleansed of our sin, cleansed of the dirt, the grime, the corruption, both literal and figurative, of this fallen world that seeks to get a hold on us. We need the power of Christ to cleanse us and the help of our brothers and sisters in Christ to bear witness to his power over sin and death, to proclaim our forgiveness over us, and to hold us accountable to live into that way of life that is in obedience to God, that holy living that we are called to in Jesus Christ. We too are to be obedient as he was obedient, even unto death on the cross. We wash one another's feet as a reminder of the priesthood of all believers, a reminder that it is for each of us to proclaim to one another that we are restored and forgiven, set free from bondage, so that we too can love one another as he loved us. Amen.